I want to focus on a very special tefillah that we find earlier in the Masechta Brachos, and Ashkenazim daven this tefillah every Shabbos Mevorachim except before Rosh Hashanah, which is not a Shabbos Mevorachim. For whatever reason, we don't do it before Rosh Hashanah. So it's usually 11 times a year. This year, Shemul Beres, we also do it 12 times because of Expa Adar. The Gemara has a Tezayim on his base in Brachos, onto Yuzayim at Aleph, a whole list of tefillos that were said by various Amorayim at the end of their davening. So, for example, we say Ukainet Sor after our last Brachos Shmon Esrei. That was one of the tefillos mentioned in the Gemara. Marbre Dravina would say Ukainet Sor, and that became common practice for we to say as well. There's another tefillah that we say on Yom Kippur, Okay Shel Notzarti Eni Chedai. That was a tefillah that was said, the Gemara says, after every davening by Rava. And this was what we say now, of course, on Yom Kippur davening. So then there was a tefillah of Rav. And if you look in the Gemara, Tazayin and Beis, you'll notice, obviously, what we're familiar with from our davening, not Sfaradim. You have a different series of Iratzim that you say, that we say, Ashkenazim say it Monday and Thursday. By the time that we do Gilas HaTorah, there's a few Iratzim that are said by the Chazen. So that's said by Sfaradim, by Shabbos Mevorachim. But Ashkenazim say this tefillah, but there's something very interesting, because Rav did not say this for Rosh Chodesh. He said it every day. So you notice how it begins. Rav Basat Tzulose, toward the bottom of Tezayin on the base. Rav Basat Tzulose Amar Hachi. And here you have the following. Yehi Ratzon Lufanacha, Hashem Elokeinu, Shetiten Lanu Chayim Aruchim, Chayim Shel Shalom, Chayim Shel Tova, Chayim Shel Bracha. In other words, the first thing that you ask in the list is Chayim Aruch. We have Shetachadish Alein Zachoy Zetova V'Levracha. That makes, that frames it as a tefillah for the coming Chodesh. And then we have an extra vav, V'Vit Titan Lanu Chayim Aruchim, and we go on with the list that you have over here. So exactly why this happened is very unclear. It happened in the 18th century. It was not before that. All along, if you go to Siddurim before that, Rishonim, for example, their Birchas HaChodesh was Misha Asanisim. And the Hachraza itself, Rosh Chodesh B'Yom Choni Yechadsheyu. At some point, it became part of the Minhag Yisrael, and not everybody does it. Those who go with Minhag Agra don't do it, and the Chabad Nusach doesn't have it either. Because again, it's not something that goes back all that many years. For whatever reason, it became part of Birchas HaChodesh, and it has a very important message, because it frames what's coming up, and we mevarach the Chodesh, so to speak, and people get very emotional. Not so much today, but in Europe, you heard about people getting very emotional when they came to shul. And even now, it's a big deal, Shabbos Mevorachim. So I wanted to go through, you know, I wrote a kuntres a few years ago on Birchas HaChodesh, so this is more than just the tefillah Yiratzon. There's a lot of things, Molad, and Yechadsheyu, and Yishasanisim, and other Minhagim, Kiddush HaChodesh, relationship between this and Kiddush HaChodesh. So it's a small little kuntres by the farm sale, so if you're interested, it's also available. But I just wanted to focus on the tefillah as much time as we have now, the various things that we ask for. And again, it begins for us with Shetachadish Alech L'Tamev L'Vracha, which is artificially grafted onto the tefillah of Rav. As a matter of fact, in some Siddurim, you see those who say Daven Nusach Sfard, you see sometimes either parentheses or not in parentheses, the very, very end of the tefillah, the last, after we say the last of the Chayim, Shetanali Mishalos Libeinu, Shimalei Hashem Mishalos Libeinu Letova, Bishchus Tfilas Rav. What do those three words mean? In the merit of Tfilas Rav, which is the Tfilah of Rav. For those who conjecture, the Tor Tamima, in one of his Svarim, says that really it shouldn't make sense to have to mention the Machaber of the Tfilah at the time that we say the Tfilah. So it says it was really a mistake. They wrote on the margin, the Sofer, who was writing down this Tfilah to copy, wrote Brachos, Misach the Brachos, Tfilas Rav. You want to know the origin of this Tfilah, look at Brachos, Tfilas Rav. From Brachos, it became Bishchus, and it became part of the actual Nusach. I don't know that that's correct, but that was a conjecture, because otherwise, why mention Bishchus, Tfilas Rav? There could be their answers why you have to mention the Tchus of Rav, because there may be an issue with saying some of these wishes, because some of the wishes are very much of a Gashmius, materialistic standpoint. Osha v'chavod, we ask for a parnasa. We don't usually daven on Shabbos for things of that nature. So the Aruch HaShulchan, Dafka writes that if it was up to me, I would leave out the Hirat Zon. I wouldn't say it because you're not supposed to ask for bakashas on Shabbos. So you have to know what to answer. There are all kinds of suggestions given. Maybe one answer is, but the merit of Tfilas Rav should overcome the barrier, the concern that we have of being mevakesh on Shabbos. Okay. L'maisa, we go through various requests, wishes, for Chaim. So after Shechadish, Aresh Gozatoba with Racha, which is framing everything for us, we say that Titan Ganu, the first thing we ask for, Chaim Aruchim. Now, the way I pronounce this, how most people pronounce it, Chaim Aruchim. But those who are purists will say, what are we asking for? Long life. So if that's what it means, then it should be with a dagesh in the Chaf. Rather than Chaim Aruchim, then proper grammar would dictate you should say Chaim Aruchim, which is not what most Siddurim have. Okay, that's how the Pasuk says in Eov, Aruka me'eretz mida rechava min hayam, long, in the sense of long life. There's a sefer on tefillah written by the Mechaber Ksav HaKabbalah on Chumash, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, and his parish in tefillah, he says, maybe Aruka doesn't mean long life, because it's without a dagesh. So he says, Aruka is another synonym for refuah. The Aruchascha mehera sitzmach. And those who dab inspired say, Refa'enu, Aruka. The word Aruch appears also in Fa'enu, it means refuah, Tala Aruch la'ala nidach, we have in the davening of Shanim Kippur, it means refuah. So the bakash is healthy life, a life that should be illness free. Okay, another pshat he suggests is a lashon, a pasuk in Ezra, Arich, lo Arich, lana l'merzi, it's not proper, so it means a proper life, a good life. So maybe it doesn't mean long life, it means something other than that. Rav Kook in his Siddur Olos V'iyah says that this sets the tone for all the Chaims afterwards. Everything that comes after, Chaim Shel Shalom, Chaim Shel Tova, it's all a subcategory of this idea of Chaim Aruchim, however you translate it, that's the umbrella category, and everything else follows from that. Then we say three things, Chaim Shel Shalom, Chaim Shel Tova, Chaim Shel Bracha. This should be familiar from Sim Shalom Tova Ubracha. For whatever reason, we don't continue with a Chaim Shel Chayin, Chayim Shel Chesed, Chayim Shel Rachamim. But these three things obviously stand out as things that go together. Chayim Shel Shalom, Chayim Shel Tova, Chayim Shel Bracha. There's a sefer by the Torah Tanim on Siddur Kubarach Sha'amar. And he just has an interesting insight that we say this right after Chayim Aruchim, which he translates as long life. Brings a Gemara in Erechin, that you test. The Gemara says that sometimes a person gets older and they're in the house, and it gets a little bit tense and stressful in the house. And Rashi says, Saba Bevesa, Pacha Bevesa. People get a little bit more finicky when they're older, and it can become a hardship on everyone around them. So the Baruch Shem says, this is why we continue. Chaim Aruchim, we want long life, but we want to make sure it doesn't come at the price of having Chaim Shel Shalom, Chaim Shel Tova, Chaim Shel Bracha. It should be, even as we get older, we get aged, we should also be able to have a peaceful, harmonious home. This pshat. Chaim Shel Parnasa. Okay, obviously that's the question that's asked, how to ask for Parnasa on Shabbos. A lot of ways to go with this, but one simple possibility is there's always the bare needs, and there's what's over and above that to make it more comfortable. If a person is asking for that, without that they can live, that's certainly something that could bring tsar and a sense of sadness on Shabbos. But if you know you're going to have your bare needs and you want to just have a little bit more, if you don't have that, you still can manage from day to day and you still can feel okay with yourself. So we know the word panasa can often mean not bare bones, but the rais. The panasa means something over, hadafa, like something beyond what's basic. The Lashon HaGemara in Gittin, Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara says that if it's more than what you have, it's called nisparnes. If it's the basic needs, it's nizon. So parnasa is shefa. So asking for that might not be as problematic. Chilat Tzatzamos. What is Chilat Tzatzamos? What's the basis for the lashon Chilat Tzatzamos? There's a pasuk in Yeshayah and Ches. It says Va'atzmosecha yachalitz, which means your bones should be strong. The basic idea is strength. We should have strong bones, and the bones are the foundation of the body. One of the sperm that I quote here, of Chaim Hirschenstein, he was a rav in Hoboken, New Jersey, a very, very interesting person, wrote a lot of interesting svarim. He wrote a small little sefer having to do with the luach, and he suggested that We know that maybe he himself could relate to this. Arthritis can be very, very painful. And if the bones are not cushioned properly with the, you know, the spinal fluid and what we know, the gel that connects to one and the other, can be extremely painful. And the Gemara actually says in one place that this is that. So he suggested that that Amora maybe could relate to that because he had this particular condition of arthritis. So therefore we're asking that we have the opposite of that. Our bones are strong. We don't realize, we take for granted all the time that we don't have certain aches and pains in our body that can be very painful. But this is obviously a very important thing to wish for. Okay, then we get to more spiritual requests. After Chaim Shel Chilas HaTzamos, we talk about Chaim of Yiraschet. It's interesting. In the Gemara, the words are Chaim Shel Yesh Bem Yiraschet. In the Siddur, we have Chaim Shel Yesh Bem Yirash Shemayim Yiraschet. That raises a question, because why say Yirash Shemayim if we're going to say it a little bit later? A few wishes later, we say Chaim Shel Teivanu Avas Torah V'Yirash Shemayim. So why repeat Yirash Shemayim twice? So there are all kinds of suggested answers, but the truth is that the Gersa HaGemara, it's not a question. In the Gemara, it doesn't say Yirash Shemayim V'Yirash Chet. It says Chaim Sheish Bem Yirash Chet. And in some of the Siddurim, the newer Siddurim that come out, they actually put in parentheses or take out Yirash Shemayim. And if you leave it in, you have to figure out what to answer. What is the difference, in any case, in Yirash Shemayim and Yirash Chet? What is the difference? What does Yirash Chet really mean? So the Messias Yesharim writes in Perek Chavdali that a person should have a natural feeling of anxiety that maybe I did something wrong. So on a certain level, a person is sensitive to, I might have done something wrong. That's Yiras Chet. He can distinguish between Yiras Haromimus and Yiras Chet. He says Yiras Haromimus is when a person is doing something particularly that is spiritual in nature, he's davening, he's learning, he's doing Avodas Hashem, then you feel Romimus, you feel an awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yiras Chet is constant. Yiras Chet is something that you're worried, maybe I did something wrong, Shema Chatasi, or I might do an Avera. The Lashon Yesh Bahem Yiras Chet, so Rav Kook says something interesting in the Siddur. He says that the Yiras Chet has to be integrated with the Chaim, not Chaim Shel Yiras Chet. Chaim sheyesh bahem. Everything else, Chaim Shel, Chaim Shel. Here it's Chaim sheyesh bahem. Why? Because there are people who have Yiras Chet when they're out by themselves doing his bodidus in the forest somewhere. They're alone. They're not with other people. They're not in a social environment. But if it's within the life itself, you're living integrated with others, around other people, you're involved, you're in business, and you have it even then, that's the Chaim sheyesh bahem. In the Chaim, in what you're doing, there is a Yiras Chet. Then you have an interesting pshat of the Baruch Sha'amar, the Torah Tamima. According to the Gemara, beginning of the sixth parak in Brachis, we have the Machlokes from Rabbi Nechai and Rabbi Shmuel. What is the proper way for a person to serve Hashem? We have Safta Diganecha. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you do a Parnasa and Hanig Bahem, Minig Derech Eretz, Torah with Parnasa, with the Safta Diganecha. Rabbi Nechai says, no, you can't survive with Torah that way. You have to trust that Kosh Baruch will provide your needs. So the Nusach HaBracha says the Nusach that Tefillah says the Baruch Shamar is Chaim Sheyesh Behem Yiras Shemayim Yiras Chet, meaning even if we're doing Rabbi Shmuel, we have a life that's, like we said before, the other pshat that we mentioned, that we're doing Derech Eretz, but everything should be informed and inspired and connected to Yiras Shemayim. Okay, then we get to Inyanim of dignity. After Yiras Shemayim Yiras Chet, we say Chaim She'en Ben Busho Chlima Chaim She'osh V'Chavod. So these are obviously the positive and the negative. We don't have shame, we have wealth, we have dignity. What's the relationship between these two wishes? They really are way related to each other. We know that if a person needs to come on to others, they become dependent, then they lose dignity. Like we say in our benching, in Rachim, we say, because if you know that you have to need a handout, you're embarrassed. If you be self-sufficient, you have dignity. So that's obviously a parallel. Specifically, busha and chlima are two different words that are both referring to a sense of shame, but chlima is a stronger expression. That's how some explain it. And others, the Malbim says that busha is embarrassed for yourself, but chlima is from other people, coming from other people. there's a nusach bracha by an oreach who benches for the balabais, and he wishes also that a similar nusach. He says shelo yevos b'olam hazeh, the balabais shouldn't be embarrassed in this world. Lo yikolim olam haba. So there's the idea of olam hazeh and olam haba, which also keeps explained over here, that we want to be with our dignity in this world, and also ultimately not to lose out in terms of olam haba. And the lashon of the drama and that tefillah is b'olam hazeh machmas oni. If a person doesn't have what it takes to provide for others, then they're embarrassed because they don't have enough to put bread on the table. And when kaim ba machmas avonos, a person does averos, then ultimately they'll be shamed in the next world. That's klima. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu also in ben busho klima in this world and the next world. And maybe Osher v'chavod parallels that. Osher is for this world, that we have the dignity in this world. And kavod is that we don't do averos that could obviously take away our sense of dignity in olam haba, which is ultimately what we need to have. So that's Osher v'chavod, and that's Eimen Busho Chlima. And again, the question that we asked before about Bakasha B'Shabbos comes up regarding Osher v'chavod. If you see it more in a sense of ruchnius, then obviously it's not purely gashmius. It's because of the fact that we can serve Hashem better, then it could also explain why we're asking for it. Okay, after Osher v'chavod, we say, Chayim shetehevanu avas Torah v'yiras shemayim. So here is that question that we said yiras shemayim in our nusach before, and we repeat it again. Some say our derech hatzachus. Once you ask for Osher v'chavod, you have to ask again for yiras shemayim. That's just a cute answer. But either way, there are other suggestions. Maybe there are two types of yiras shemayim. There's a yiras shemayim that's more connected to yiras ha'onesh, like we said before, with yiras chet. There's a yiras shemayim that's maybe a higher level, which is connected to yiras ha'romimus. There is another pshat that the Bali Musa say that the Avas Torah shouldn't be just for the intellectual pursuit. The Avas Torah that we have, people can enjoy intellectual challenges, and Torah could be part of that. But the Avas Torah has to be with Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Yiras Shemayim. The Avas Torah should be ingrained and informed by Yiras Shemayim. Then one other pshat that I mentioned, that it's Avas Torah is that's not just love of Torah, it's Ahavas Torah and Ahavas Yiras Shemayim. So it's a different request, not just to have Yiras Shemayim, but that we should love Yiras Shemayim. What we value is what we love, what we cherish. It shouldn't be something that, oh, Nebuch, Yiras Shemayim, I have to, you know, try to do it and feel guilty if you don't. But it's something that we should strive for and recognize as something that we love. So it's Ahavas Torah and of Yiras Shemayim. Okay, just the last one, which is maybe the most all-encompassing, how it all ends. So the Nusach HaGemara is Shetemale Lanu is Komishalos Ribeinu L'Tova Adkan. Now that's the way it's in the Gemara. Mestama, because we're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. Lashanokach, we're going to Hoshmon Esrei Baruch Ata Baruch Ata Baruch Ata. And Rav is concluding with this tefillah, so we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shetemale Mishalos Ribeinu. Most of the Sidurim have a Nusach slightly different, not Shetemale, but Yimalu Hashem, Lashanister, or Yimalu Mishalos Ribeinu. Could be because since we took this tefillah of Rav out of the context in which Rav said it, and we make it part of a separate tefillah of Birchas HaChodesh, so now you don't feel quite as comfortable. You're not in the middle of a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's a little more of a sense of humility, so you speak more Yimalu Hashem, Yimalu Mishalos Ribeinu. The idea of Yimalu Hashem, Kol Mishalos Libeinu, is based on the pasuk of Tehillim. Yimali just said Tehillim not too long ago. Yimali Hashem Kol Mishalos Secha, right? Like it says in Mishmachos. But we add the Tova. Why do we add the Tova? What is the meaning of the Tova? The Rashash and this Gemara is a beautiful idea, because a person can ask for something that he thinks is in his best interest, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows best what is good for you, what's not good for you. Something that you think is good could actually be very much the opposite. Be you want to catch a flight, and that flight ends up something happens on it, and it would be better not getting on it. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that you shouldn't get on that flight. Or whatever else, you think you need this, you need that in order to succeed. And Hashem has other plans to be successful in other ways. I just read the Ramban, mentioned over the Ramban to someone the other day, the Ramban Parshas B'Shalach, Kol Yisrael daven to Hashem, and then a minute later they're complaining to Moshe. How can that be? Are they daven to Hashem? So why are they critical of Moshe and saying you shouldn't take it out of Israel? So Ramban has a few suggestions, and one of the pshatim he brings at the end is that when they daven to Hashem, they were davening for a particular result that they thought Hashem has to do for them. Make Paro turn around. That was what they were davening for. He's chasing us. He's behind us. We have nowhere to go. Daven to Hashem. They did. From their hearts, the power to turn around. Hashem didn't listen. So they got all upset. Okay, at that point, they lost it, and they turned against Moshe. But really, Hashem had a better plan. Paro's going to follow into the Yam, and he's going to drown. And that was, of course, what was really best for them. So they didn't realize they were davening for something. They thought that's what they need, and they needed something even better. So therefore, we have to end, not just Hashem should answer our Mishalos Libeinu, what we think is best, but the Tova, it should be what's really ultimately for our best interest. Okay.